Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Lucina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. We're almost at the end of a year. I cannot believe it. Well, anyway, you know I don't start the show without prayer, so let's just go into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. We just give you the highest praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for all your grace and your mercy, but most of all, your unconditional love. I thank you that you just shower your love, your blessings, your healing, your restoration for all those who are in need tonight. Right now, we're dealing with so many deaths and unexpected situations, and I just ask you to continue to shower down and comfort those who are in need to be comforted right now, shield those who need to be shielded right now, and protect those that need to be protected. And as I come to your throne of grace, I surrender Lucina right now, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come down right now and just rain upon us right now. And it's in your son Jesus' name. And before I leave, let me just thank you, and I ask you for a special blessing for my guest who's going to be here tonight. I thank you because as she tells about her story and how it ends up being your glory and how she can encourage others, I'm so excited and find it a privilege and a pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to be the vessel. And as we move forward tonight, it is not by my will, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so excited about tonight. I am so excited now. I am getting late on getting on Facebook Live because it's just going to be an interesting show tonight. That's all I'm going to say. But we're going to keep this moving. And for those who are just getting in, tuning in, you're tuning into Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. My name is Lucina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and pleasure. Now, I am going to try to get on Facebook Live tonight. You all know that I usually have Facebook Live on while we're doing it, but I'm down one of my phones, and hopefully that will be restored next week. But I'm going to try to do this on my cell phone. I'm hoping that it doesn't cut off anyone. So if it does, y'all just forgive me in advance. So with that being stated, you know, in life, we have many people who are very successful in their jobs, in their businesses, in their ministries. And what we do. And when we look at people sometimes, or when people tend to view people, they tend to view them for where they are now. They tend to, you know, even some of them judge for where they are now, but never understand, or, you know, where the glory comes from. Like when you hear someone says, you, what is the saying? You don't know my story, so you don't know my glory. So you don't know what people's going through. And I tell people in a second, you know, you all know I wear wigs. Let's just keep it real about it. And I tell people in a second, if my wig comes off, you just better let it fly until I'm finished letting Lord do what he does for me. But that is the glory and the goodness of how God has brought me from, because I know where I was and I know where I am now. But I didn't get there overnight. It was a story that comes behind it. And this guest tonight is nobody different. Not only does she have a story, but her glory is so awesome. It is phenomenal. And I can't wait for her to share it with you all tonight. She is a native of South Carolina. You all know I'm from South Carolina, so I love her people. I'm not going to go into further detail because I really want her to introduce herself, but she has so many accolades, one of them being a coach, one of them being a woman of God. She's a reverend, and she is a phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal speaker. She has her own podcast that she does on Tuesdays, and her it's called Keeper's Place, if I'm not mistaken, and see if I got it incorrect. But I cannot wait to bring her on board. So I am going to present to some and introduce to others, Ms. Reverend Coach Kiva Murda. I want to thank you for tuning in to Chronicles, and thank you so much for gracing us with your presence on our platform tonight. How are you?
I am great. Thank you, Queen, and awesome. I'm so honored to be here. And congratulations on your first year. That's a huge accomplishment.
Thank you, Jesus. That's all I can say. I just give it to him, you know. I give it to him. It's interesting I'm a certified coach anyway, but it's interesting. I got certified years ago. I am just coming into using my certification now. Isn't that something how it works? But
That's exactly right. I was about to say that God's timing is always on time, you know, and it's always good to, you know, prepare ourselves by going through all of these certifications and getting, you know, classes. Kudos to that. But when God say it's time to move, that's when it is time to move. And sometimes we tend to move prematurely, but I just thank God that you are, you know, yielding to what it is that he has in store for you, and you are, you know, listening and being obedient to him now, and you understand the assignment now, and the assignment is to move, and I just thank God that you are moving forward in his will, not in ours, but in his.
In his will. You said that, in his will and not in my will, because I tell you what now. When I try to do things out of his will, I get so jacked up. I'm so jacked up. And he will wait on me patiently. Just wait on me patiently to come back. And I'm sure you have some stories as well. But
yes.
I have three questions for you to start us off. Who are you? What do you do? And why you do what you do?
Well, those are very easy questions for me. My name is Coach Kiever Lernice Murdaugh. I am a mother of two adult children, young adult children. I'm married. I've been married for over 20 years now. And I am a servant of God. My purpose in life, I have a servant's heart, is to serve and do God's will first and foremost. Everything else falls second. It's God, family, and then everything else. And in a nutshell, that's who I am. I'm a sister, I'm an auntie, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I'm a vessel. That is just Kiever in a nutshell. What I do a little bit of everything, to be honest with you. By trade, I'm a licensed physical therapist assistant / rehab director. I'm an entrepreneur. I have several businesses, such as a hair care line, a natural hair care line. Being natural and holistic is a passion of mine. So we have a natural hair care company. We have a natural boutique located here locally in Camden, South Carolina. And I have a podcast that we started less than a year ago as well, and I'm super excited to just be able to provide a platform for others to be able to come on and share their story as well. And why I do what I do goes back to what I just said to you, Pachina. If God says to do something, I truly believe he will prepare a way. He will give you and equip you with what you need, and you just have to be obedient. And I believe that God gave me these platforms for not for my glory, but for his glory. So I do what I do not for me to get the accolades and the fame and the glory, but it's so that people can look at me and say, hey, if Kiever can do it, if she can be a woman of the background that she was brought up in, then, hey, I can do it too, you know, and it's, the end of the day, it's about him. It's not about me.
Awesome. And you know, you said that. It's not about him. It's not about me. But one thing we have in common besides being sisters, my priorities in life are the same. Faith, family, finances. Mm-hmm. That's my priority. Okay. That's my priority in life. And Well, I will say is this. They're telling me I'm having problems with my Facebook Live, but I think I know why it is. But we'll get that. I'm not worried about that because we're still on Blog Talk. So those of you who are turning into Facebook Live, I'm going to direct you to Blog Talk, to go into Blog Talk. Normally I do a Facebook Live while we're on the phone, and I think they can't hear me because I'm using both my phones for both of them. So that's okay. What we do is redirect them. So I'm going to redirect them. So with that being stated, I already have some of my listeners already tuning in on the Blog Talk, so that works out perfectly. So I don't let nothing stop me from doing what I need to do. That's just all to it. We just keep it moving. So with that being said, you know, you have a lot of accolades. I mean, a lot, like the position, you know, the podcast. You have, you're a licensed minister. You know, you have quite a few things. But there was a time when you were not. And I want to know what led you to that point. Like what was it that happened? The what you went through and where you're now.
That's a loaded question. Let me tell you a little bit about my background. I am my mother was, she is one of the strongest women that I know. She had three daughters. I am the oldest of three. And I grew up in a small town right here in King Street, but it was a very volatile home. Yeah. And when I say volatile, you know, I grew up seeing domestic abuse. I grew up seeing drunkenness by my father. And, you know, I believe that what I saw, it shaped me into the woman that I am today. We grew up, you know, just hearing mental abuse, verbal abuse, as well as physical. I mean, I love my father now, but growing up, he was not the ideal husband. He was not the ideal father. And it just prepared me for a life. Like, some women have a tendency to lean or be drawn to who their fathers are. And for me, I made it my sole purpose. Like, he taught me a lot, even though it was a very abusive and volatile home. You know, I do thank him. I thank him because he taught me a lot, because what I saw, I knew from a very young age, from a child, that what I saw, I want no part of that. And it was so important for me to grow up with that understanding that I wanted to break those generational cycles. I wanted to change the narrative, and I didn't want to be one of those women that was a statistic, you know, that saw their mothers go through that or their aunts go through that, and that's all they knew. And for me, I knew from early on that I didn't want that to be my story. So what I did was I took all of what I saw, and I literally turned it around, and I used, you know, my mother's pain and her strength, her weaknesses, and I literally learned from her as well, because even though she was so strong, she was still weak, right? Because, you know, she lacked the support of her family around her, because back then, you know, and I'm not afraid of, you know, sharing my age. I'm 43. So back then, I mean, it was all about, it doesn't matter what your husband do. You're supposed to stand by your man. You're supposed to endure all of the abuse and all of that. So she really didn't have the support of her family to be able to, you know, just kind of coach her along and give her those strategies and coping mechanisms and even the support to be able to get out of that situation. So she lacked that. But what I will say is that when somebody tells you or when they show you who they are, believe them. And it took, you know, she endured all of that, you know, abuse and all of that. But once he turned it on to us, and it took one statement from him, and, you know, he said to her one day, I'm going to kill you, these kids, and myself. And it was at that moment, she said to him, "You will never kill me, and you will never kill my children." And she started her exit strategy. You know, and I say that because there may be women that's in similar situations, and you need to know that when somebody is showing you who they are, believe them, you know. And I thank God that she did that, and she started planning, you know. And long story short, she planned an exit strategy. She executed it, and we left the situation, you know, and I drew from everything that she went through. I drew from everything that I saw, and it literally made me the woman that I am today. So, and I don't take, you know, praise and glory. That's nothing but God, because that could have been me. That I mean, it's very easily because I saw it. Some would say I was predisposed to it. So statistically, that should have been me, you know, but I thank God that that's not my reality.
Awesome. And, you know, it's interesting. Like I said, the title of the story, the subject tonight is glory. And you have a story. And your story is, you know, it's sad to say this, but it's our reality. As women, we just endure so many things, you know, and we, well, as a children and as an adult, you know, we endure so many things and we get exposed to things too early in life. But it shapes and minds us. And, you know, sometimes people act like I was that one. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Why? And then he's like, why not you? And when I think about it now, I'm looking at the fact that where you are now, when your mom got you out of that situation, and that is a beautiful thing. And it starts, so at that point you started your career as far as the education, because now you're no longer in this situation. You're no longer in bondage. Per se, is physically. You understand? So that had to shape your mind. That had to accept the way you felt about yourself, all of that. So at what point did you decide to take control over Miss Kiva? And then what happened what was the result of that?
You know, it was not a specific incident. I can remember, and I was a little bit different as a child. You know, I was one of the ones that once I got my mind focused on something, I was going to do whatever it took to make sure to accomplish that particular goal. So for me, seeing, you know, I didn't want, it was just so important for me not to be a statistic. That was just so important for me. So I literally took all of the strength, everything that I went through, and I got myself educated. I worked several jobs. When I said I'm a Jane of all trades, I have done a little bit of everything. Yes, but, you know, I truly believe that all of those experiences shaped me to who I am. And it was so important for me to be able to, and there is something about going through certain situations, right? Because your pain and your struggles is not for you, right? It's really for somebody to learn from your experiences. And that's what drove me to be a certified life coach, is because I truly believe that there is somebody out there, a woman, a girl that's been in similar situations who may not be as strong as I am mentally, who need that extra boost, who need that boost of confidence to know that they too can get out of that situation and thrive. So I became a certified life coach. I coach other women and girls in the domestic situation, and I also coach them on what to look out for to avoid some of those domestic situations. situation, because prevention is everything, right? You know, if we are proactive in a lot of areas in our life, there's a lot of situations that we can avoid, right? So it's very important for our young people to understand that you know, there are signs to look out for so that you can set yourself up for the best success. So, you know, I became a certified life coach. I coach women in domestic situations, but then I also coach entrepreneurs and business owners, because let's be honest, when you're working somebody else's 9-to-5, you really have limited control over, you know, what goes on. And just recently, I had a situation to where I won't say I was forced out of a position, but I believe it opened a door for me to be able to leave that particular job and environment, because, you know, I kind of felt God pushing me out of that. But because of comfortability, I wanted to hold on to it. But that led me to be able to work with entrepreneurs and small business owners to teach their management team on how to cultivate their employees, you know, people underneath them, how to be true innate leaders and how to pull the best out of their people. Because it's one thing to be a leader and it's one thing to be a boss, right? You know, you want to be both. But you want to be able to, you know, lead your people and understand what their strengths and their weaknesses are and use that to your company's advantage. So that's a little bit of what I do in the coaching realm. But, you know, yeah, I mean, it's really about, for me, there was not just a one incident. It's literally my whole life story, to be honest, you know, with you. And
we can do that. If because of your life story, as a result of your life story, at what point did you decide to, I guess, the stages? Like, and I asked the question so detailed because you have women out there who may be going through the same as you. At what point did you decide, okay, enough is enough? Because, you know, some women, they go through emotional, mental, they go through so many things until they make that decision that enough is enough and I want to take control of my life and start the path. What should I do next? So what did you do?
For
me, did that make
for
sense?
For me, yes, it does. For me, when I left my mother's house, she finally divorced him. And when I left her house, I was about 18 years old. And for me, it literally started right there. I went to college. I did not graduate right away, to be honest. I went to college. At the time, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to major in, but I knew that I wanted to get out of the situation that I was in, which was a life of poverty. We didn't have much, but I knew that education would play a major role in, you know, cultivating my life forward. But I was still lost. I didn't know what I wanted to major in. So I bumped around a lot. I held several jobs. I dabbled in many different industries. It took me 10 years to be able to go back to school with a major in mind. So, you know, I majored in physical therapy assistant and literally built my life from that particular moment. But if I could encourage anybody that is listening, the first thing I would say is figure out what you're passionate about. You know, well, let me back up. First of all, if you are in a domestic situation, plan your exit strategy. Get out. Because it's not good for you, and if you have children, it's definitely not good for your children. And don't stay for the sake of your children either, because you're literally not doing them any favors. So definitely get out, plan your exit strategy, and execute it. And it goes back to what I said earlier: when somebody show you who they are, believe them. because they will kill you. But, yeah, just going back, for me, it was literally just figuring out what I wanted to do. And it took me a little while. And, you know, I'm not one to sit here to say at 18 I had all the answers. At 25 I had all the answers because I didn't. However, you know, I did understand that there was a greater purpose on my life, and I was determined to find out what that was. So for me, it's knowing what you are passionate about. So that would be my second thing, is just finding out what you are passionate about. So that's another avenue that really drove me into what I'm doing now.
Awesome. You said something profound, because, you know, this month is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
This month. And we had a guest on the show that was who is a survivor of it. But I learned something new tonight, because I didn't know that was a part of your story. But I thank you for, being vulnerable to share that, because there's always someone that can benefit from it, because it goes back to how you display your glory, you know, because of the story you have. Not to make it a Debbie Downer or thing like that, but this is just our realities and our facts of what we deal with, you know. And then now you go off to college, and, you know, I'm like you. I mean, college is the years of years you're supposed to find yourself. I did college twice, you know, once on my parents' dime and then once on my dime. Mm-hmm. And when I started doing my dime, things became a little different, and I started taking things a little more seriously. Yeah. I started
exactly
a little bit more seriously then, because it was something mm-hmm. I had to make sure that I got that degree. But as a result of it, it was a stepping stone for me. And I hear it in you when I hear your strength. Since I first met you, I just knew it was something about you that I love, and it was like a magnet. And, you know, the more and more I get to know you, you know, especially now, not knowing what you've gone through as younger, but it makes me understand, because, you know, I'm a survivor of abuse, but not domestic. What I will say is this, you know, I see everything you've gone through, you know, the things that you witnessed. And listen, now it's time to change some things around. And now you got the ball is in your court, and then you have control. And you went back to school. Now, I have a question for you. When you went back to school, it was for your bachelor's and stuff, correct?
Well, yeah. Well, initially, when I initially went to school, I went to school to major in psychology with a minor in early childhood education. And it was then, and I was about 18, it was then that I realized that that's not what I wanted to do. So I took a semester off to try to figure things out, you know, because I kind of felt like teaching was not it. So a semester led to two semesters, led to 5 years, 10 years. It literally took me 10 years to figure out what I wanted to major in. And that's okay, you know, because I knew once I got into that field of teaching that me personally, would not have been happy doing that. So, you know, I say that to, you know, encourage other people, even if you don't have all the answers initially, that's okay. That's okay, you know, because you have time to figure things out. You don't have to rush. And sometimes we tend to find ourselves in so many situations because we're trying to rush through it. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to, you know, you don't want to be talked about. You don't want to be laughed at or ridiculed or whatever. You know, I had to realize that I had to do what was best for me. And it didn't make sense to some, but it made sense to me. So, yeah, it took me 10 years to be able to go back to school and finish. So, yeah.
But the thing is, you finished.
Exactly.
And I want you to understand that. It doesn't matter when you start, how you start, as long as you finish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right. And when I finished, when I went back to school, But Gina, I was married, you know, y'all, I have gone through a lot. My husband at the time, he has epilepsy. So he was having seizures really, really bad. He was about to undergo brain surgery. So for me, going back meant, okay, you know, I don't know how he was going to come out of this situation. I had surgeons and doctors telling me that he may not recognize us, he may not be able to drive a car, read or write, recognize words. So for me, it was like, okay, you know, I have to figure some things out because I may end up being, you know, the sole care provider of two young children and a sick husband. So I had to go back. I had to, you know, figure, like they say, put your big girl panty on and figure some things out and, you know, and I did that. And I thank God that he's fine and he came out of that, you know, beautifully. And the doctors and surgeons were amazed. Girl, won't he do it? Because he was one of the ones that they were not expecting him to do well at all. And he beat all the odds. So, yeah. But I did it. You know, I went back, sick husband, two small children. My baby was five. And I worked. I don't even know how I did it all. I worked. I went to school full-time, and I was a caregiver.
But I get you, girl. I hear what you're saying. But look, it through it all, it was his grace. And that's a part of the story. And, you know, when I hear it now, you know, that's a lot to be on your table. That's a lot to be on your plate. You know, when we have the weight of our shoulders, and, you know, as women, especially African-American women, it is that stereotype belief that, oh, she can handle it. Oh, she can handle it. She's strong. She can handle it. Listen, we may be strong, but we get tired, too. We really do get tired, but it is the fuel. But when you are motivated, when your fuel becomes, I got to get this done, we're going to get the energy from, the energy is going to come from somewhere. We know God got us. Mm-hmm. All we got to do is have the faith, and that's where I hear in you. You have so much going on right now, but you had the faith. You had the faith. And look at you
Yes,
now.
And that's so important, you know, and you just hit the nail right on the head. You know, we as women, you know, especially us, let's just keep it 100. We literally bear the weight of our entire families. There are so many out here that are single mothers as well. So they don't have a choice. My mother did not have a choice. This woman worked three jobs. You know, she not only had one full-time job, she would work one full-time job and two part-time jobs because she understood the assignment. She had three little girls she had to raise. So it's so many women that are in that situation. So we as Black women, we have this strength, this innate strength, you know, that we pull from. And there are so many situations where you don't understand how strong you are, Fatina, until something happens and you have to rely and pull that strength from somewhere. So, you know, we are stronger than we know until we have to exercise it. So I just want to be able to encourage somebody who may be listening, who's going through a tough situation, and they don't realize that they are stronger than they know they are. So, sis, you have the strength. You have the tools. You just got to tap into it. And that's exactly what I did, you know. And I was young. I mean, I got married at 21. So, and as soon as I got married, I found out, you know, my husband was sick. So what do you do? Pull up them,
make it work.
pull from that strength, yeah, and make it
exactly
do
make it work, because we don't know failure.
Yeah.
That's not something we weren't designed. And you know, you're from King Street, I'm from Pineville. That's Berkeley County, Williamsburg
mm-hmm.
County. You know, we neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We're neighbors.
Yep.
And we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. And I'm a single. I was married, but I'm a single mother now. And we do what we have to do to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only through His grace. And yes, we have our degrees, whatever, but I was determined. And that's what I hear it in you, because you have this strength about you that's so infectious. It's not even funny. I love it. I love it. And but as a result, you got your degree now. Your husband is better. But now you started tapping into, because where you were working quite a few jobs. At what point did you get to that? When did you get to that point where you was like, you know what, I'm tired of working for people?
Oh man, goes back to about a year and a half ago. I had a situation on a job where I had a disagreement with a physical therapist, and he literally, long story short, he fabricated some things about me and opened up an entire investigation. And as of that
wow.
moment, I was like, okay, you know, yes. And I was like, okay, why am I putting up with this? Because, you know, I had the assignment that God has already given me, but I was running from it, to be honest. So I started researching to find out how or what I needed to do to get certified as a life coach. And that's exactly what started the ball rolling. I had my natural hair company for 3 years. I am natural, but I struggled with finding products that work for my hair, and at the time, my daughter's
mm-hmm.
hair. So I saw a need for that. So I started doing research, and, you know, I started testing chemicals. Well, not really chemicals, but different materials, ingredients, and found, you know, products that work for me and her. And I literally started giving it to my family to try out, and then I started to sell it. So that's how the hair care company came about, was really I saw a need. And I was tired of just spending money on various products, and it didn't work for both me and my daughter's hair. So that's how the natural hair care company came about. And because of that, we launched a natural boutique, and it's a boutique where it not only houses our products, but I provide a space for other entrepreneurs to be able to place their service, their product-based businesses in a brick and mortar too. So again, it was what do we need in this community? And we did not have a natural, holistic boutique, especially for us and our community. So, you know, I have natural products. Why not have a natural store? So, yeah, for me, it was just, you know, nobody can take care of me and my community better than me. So you are limited when you're working on somebody else's job. You have to click their time clock. You have to follow their mission statements, their visions, their, you know, whatever. But when it's your own, you get to set those. You get to say, you know, what your particular business model is. You have that control, but you don't have that on somebody else's job. And I'm not knocking it now. You know, if that's you, then that's fine. But right, but for mm-hmm. me, you know, I definitely wanted something different. I wanted something more, and I wanted to be able to have that control over what I do and what I'm doing for my community as well. So, yeah, that's just, you know, it pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So you became an entrepreneur, and what I'm hearing so far, you decided to make that change because no one can take care of you better than you, and that is a very true statement. You know, I guess it, for me, what I hear is when you get sick and tired of getting sick and tired, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, change is going to come. And that's
exactly
hear.
Right.
When I hear you. That's when I hear from you.
That's exactly right.
You start thinking about, you know, when I hear you say, you know, why am I dealing with this, you know? And it's so interesting because let me ask you this question real quick. In your transition, when you got to that point of being sick and tired of being sick and tired and you decided you wanted to go your own route, did you have any type of apprehension, like fear, or did you experience any of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because you are literally tackling the unknown, and anything that is new is uncomfortable. And there's a fear factor there, you know what I'm saying, because you don't know what's going to be the end result. I mean, we know what we want it to be. We will work and strive hard, but at the end of the day, you just don't know. So you are taking that risk. And it's really important when you do that to have that support system, because you're going to need it. You know what I'm saying? You're going to need somebody to be able to pour into you when you are in those moments of doubt. You know, if you aren't sure this is going to work out, it's so, so important. So, yeah, was I afraid? Absolutely. But, you know, it wasn't enough fear for me not to jump, if that makes sense. The jump and the fear and the apprehension, it was still all worth it. So, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, it's interesting because how I started the podcast, Sister Kiva, is I got the idea. I knew that I was supposed to do something. You know how God gives you a vision. You want to, that's for me? Well, that's how I was. That was me. You know, then I was like, you know, when is that going to happen? You know, then I just stopped thinking about it, to be honest with you. But I remember in 2008, I was in church. I'll never forget, I was going to a church in North Charleston, and I just started writing. I got a notebook out, and I just started writing. I had that vision in my room for a long time. 2011 is when I got introduced to Blog Talk Radio. I created the account because I knew that whatever he wanted me to do, I was going to have to share it. I started up that in 2011, and then in 2019, is when I aired my first show. But I knew that God was toggling with me, like, okay, it's time for you to come out. And I remember watching Steve Harvey one night, and Tyra Banks was on it. And she was talking about how she got into the makeup line. And she said she went back to school like you did. She learned and mastered her craft of makeup, you know how to sell it, you know, how to package it, how to put it out there. But she said she decided that all she did was step out on faith, held her breath, and jumped. And I was like, you know what? That was exactly what I needed to hear. And that's when I started. That's when I set a date. I knew when I set a date, I wouldn't go back on it, because when I set a date, I stick to it. And that's what I did. And that's what I hear from you. But what is so flattering is, or amazing to me, is you not only start something for yourself, but also your community, you know, going out, you know, and having, you know, people who are interested in buying into your vision, buying into the chain. So I see that it's like you're taking what you have and you're giving it right back. So you're recycling it. And like, and I just commend you for doing that, because some people will, you know, we're from the sick, and you have some people, they get the education they need, they don't want to come back, they don't want to be bothered, they don't want to do anything, but that's not what you did. You came back, you paid it forward, and came back to help the community, because I saw some events that you're doing, and I was like, look at this chick. I shouldn't go, you know what I'm saying, we're being real. We're being real. Yes. I don't know how to say that to be real on the show. You know, look at this. I saw it. I was like, man, yes, I love it, because there's nothing better than not, you know, you hear people talk about it and stuff like that, but when it's your own homegrown people, then it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And you have that sincere heart. You have that giving heart, like, hey, If you want to be helped, I got you. That's what I see from you. I got you. Let me help you get the tools you're going to need to get to where you're going. And that's what I saw when I saw the Facebook page. And I was like, wow, she is doing some things up in here. She really is. And I remember you put something out on Facebook for vendors and stuff like that. And I was like, wow. And I mean, just active, completely active, completely active.
But you have your
entrepreneur side, and then you have your call to ministry side. Do you mind sharing that?
Yes. Not at all. Yes, I have been licensed for over 10 years now and ordained for the last two out of those 10 years. And I can remember when God was first calling me, sister, I didn't even recognize that he was calling me. My husband recognized it first because he was licensed and ordained years before me. And I can remember, you know, God giving me messages and scriptures, and I would go to him and be like, hey, babe, God showed me such and such and such. And he would say, really? Interesting. Write it down. And I would write it down. No, seriously, real talk. And, like, he did that for, like, 2-3 years. And finally my husband was like, hey, babe, you know, you ever thought about God not giving those messages for me? I think he's giving them to you for you. Yeah, and I'm going to keep it 100. I did not accept that. I was saved, but I did not accept that at all because that was not my calling. God was not calling me to the ministry, you know, not at all, period. And I ran. I ran for years to finally, you know, a situation occurred to where I heard him finally. I mean, it was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. And I had to repent for running, first of all, and for being disobedient. And it was that moment about 10 years ago that I finally surrendered and went through the whole, you know, commissioning, licensing, and ordination process. And, I mean, it just really goes back to what I said earlier. It's not about me. I am a vessel. I'm an empty vessel. And my prayer is for God to fill me every day so that I cannot only pour into myself, but to have something to pour into others. So not only do I preach, but I teach. And my passion is working with our young women. I mean, I'm so passionate about working with our girls, getting them prepared for womanhood and teaching them, you know, about not only the biblical lessons, but about life lessons. You know, you can throw the Bible at people all day long, but they also have to have the skills to live in this world that we are living in. So I'm all about making sure that they have a balance. They need that biblical, you know, sense, but they also need those life skills as well. So that's just, you know, a little bit about my ministry. I have a group called the Virtuous Women group, and I really focus on, you know, the middle school, high school, and the young adults, because those are the ones who need the direction the most. If we can catch them before they find themselves in so many, you know, situations that is not good for them, you know, if we can be proactive and teach them and catch them earlier, we can save our young folks a lot of grief and a lot of headaches, because there are some things that they don't have to learn the hard way, so...
Exactly. And could you repeat that ministry again?
Yeah, it's the Virtuous Women group. And it's a local, you know, group within our local community. I'm thinking about making it a nonprofit. I have not moved forward in that direction yet. I'm praying about that. But, yeah, that is local, yeah. But,
I love,
you know,
that.
If there is anybody...
Please, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, okay, sure. If there is anybody that is looking for, you know, a speaker to speak to the young people, especially girls, you know, I don't mind traveling. I can, you know, speak virtually. But, yeah, definitely definitely reach out to me.
Yes, very much. And for those who are tuning in, you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and I have the privilege and the pleasure to have Reverend Coach Kiva Murdaugh on the line with us. And we're talking about From Story to Glory. We're talking about, you know, regardless of what you go through in life, it doesn't matter what you go through in life. God is using it. God will use it for his good. For your good, but for his glory. And that's what this is about tonight. You know, Reverend Murdaugh is a native of King Street, South Carolina. And, you know, you all know I'm from Pineville. But my point is this. She is a queen. She is an entrepreneur. She is a minister. She is, I could go on and on, but she's just a phenomenal woman, and that's probably the best way I can wrap this up. She's taken her lemons, she's added water, she's added sugar, and she's now created lemonade. And not only did she create the lemonade, she then put some ice all up in it, got some glasses out, and sharing it with other people. And that's what I love. She is sharing it. So as we move forward, we're coming close to our close. You know, I hate when it always gets like this when we're getting, you know, so good. But, you know, with that being said, what nuggets of wisdom can you pass on to someone who's listening who may be going through?
If I had to leave anything with anybody, it would definitely be to don't let your situation limit you. You know, you can literally come back and have a strong, powerful story out of what you are going through. I truly believe that your test is not only for you. It's so that you can give your testimony on how God delivers you. So don't be stuck in any situation that you may be in right now. You have the strength that you need to be able to get out of any situation. You just have to tap into that innate strength and believe and have faith in yourself and in a higher power and get out of it. And not only that, once you're out, be able to reach, pull the next sister out, and then the next sister out. That's how we break generational curses. That's how we break generational cycles. And it's so important for us to be able to love on each other and, you know, offer that assistance. So, sisters, let's be that strength that we all need. Don't tend to throw yourself all of these pity parties, because what you're going through, you have a story, you have a testimony, and somebody out there needs to hear it.
Exactly. We are designed. Are we not designed? It's interesting how you mentioned about grace, and I love that part, pay it forward. Go back, reach back, and get someone, and then get someone. It only takes one spark to start a forest fire. That's it. All it takes is one spark. Be that spark. Get someone. And if you don't have, just let your testimony be it. Because people are paying attention to you, whether you think they're paying attention to you or not. They are paying attention to you. And just having that strength, and then having the will and the tenacity and the excitement to going back, because you know what you've been through, to help someone do the same. That's a beautiful thing. And as you know, as if you didn't pay attention to anything tonight, is that you hear the word queen throughout this conversation. We are queens. And as Reverend Murdaugh was referring to me as a queen, she is my queen. And it's interesting because we got together on the Queen's Roundtable, and that's how we first got to know each other. That's how we first got to know each other. And here we are sharing the message, you know, like-minded women doing the same thing. And just to let you all know, as women, we can build each other up. It is okay. Mm-hmm. We don't have to tear each other down. Let this be an example tonight. Like I mentioned, I met Sister Murdaugh on the Queen's Roundtable. And who would have ever thought, one, she is close by me. She's my neighbor in South Carolina. Two, we are both passionate about helping people, especially our young women. And I'm just letting you know, girls, as girls, there is unison. Yes, queens, you know, I make it a point to compliment any female that if I see them and they're rocking it, hey, you wearing that today. I want you to know you are wearing that today. You are wearing that today. I'm just letting you know. As though I'm letting you know. We just have to get in the habit of doing that and stop breaking that stereotype. You know, there are certain things on TV, it just disappoints me because I was like, no, not everybody's like that. And I don't like that stigma that they put on all of us because of some. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just don't know no better. Who knows? But I love the fact that you have the Virtuous Women group there in King Street. And I'm so excited to hear more about that as we move forward. But our time is winding down. And I would like you to know I'm going to send another invitation for you to come back, right? I'm just letting you know.
I know would love to come back.
I know that you
now, listen, we got to let them know, too, that you will actually be on our show coming up next month.
Wow, you're right. But, yes, that's the beautiful thing about there is power in networking. There is power in networking. And as a result, I mean, the fact that, you know, Sister, you know, Reverend Murdaugh is here sharing her knowledge, sharing wisdom, the tidbit and stuff like that. And then now I have the pleasure of being on her platform, and I'm so excited about it. I'm going to have to talk to you, my sister, because, you know, one of the things I love about being in the sisterhood is that when we don't know, I'm going to ask, hey, so, you know, I got to work towards this video thing. I'm still trying to work this thing out. I'm just getting through this talk and trying to do Facebook Live. And the Facebook Live is not working because I'm using my phone. So I got it. So I have directed everybody to the Blog Talk. But I love the internet radio for the simple fact not everybody wants to be on the camera. I get that. So,
right.
And it is like, yeah, it's a voice. But when, I just want to say thank you for taking the time out, but I do want to say this. What you have coming up, tell us about, first of all, you have a podcast that comes on Tuesday, correct?
Well actually, the podcast airs on Thursday night. Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Not a problem. And one other correction, the Virtuous Women, I actually live in Camden now. So my Virtuous Women group, yes, is in Camden. I've been in Camden for over 20 years now. So, yeah, that's home now. But, yeah, our podcast is called Kira's Place, the Kira Murdaugh Show and Podcast, and we air on Facebook, YouTube, every Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Outside of that, we just had our Community Fall Festival actually on yesterday. So we are planning our holiday bazaar now that will be going on in December. So that is moving ahead, full speed ahead. And what else we have going on? We just finished a domestic violence walk. I am doing speaking engagements. Matter of fact, I will be on the platform with Ms. Takesha Wade. I don't know if you know her, but she has a domestic violence conference coming up, so I will be one of the speakers on that coming up towards the end of the week. So right now I'm doing a lot of speaking engagements, and then I'm planning our final community event for 2021. So that's going to keep me pretty busy throughout the rest of the year.
Awesome. Now, if someone wants to reach out to you, how will they do that?
The easiest way would probably be to reach me on my Linktree. You can find me at linktr.ee
/ Keever Murdaugh, K-E-E-V as in Victor, E-R, M-U-R, D as in David, A-U-G-H. And all of my contact information as well as my other businesses is located right there.
Well, thank you for tuning in tonight. I love you, but God loves you more. Good night.
Good night.